Up next on Coast to Coast AM, David Cereda joins us as we talk about his incredible, riveting work in all things science and space. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Most of you who have listened to this program over the years know the name David Cereda. David is the co-founder of Voice Entertainment, director, producer, a filmmaker, also author, DVD series, The Voice. He's a well-known space scientist, physicist. My gosh, David, how many titles do you have?
I don't know, as many as you can think of, George.
Good to have you with us. What's new?
Well, I mean, when we last left off, I was talking about the lost scale and these ancient harmonic tones that have been lost for thousands of years, and this scale that I discovered inside of the Great Pyramid.
And when you talked about those scales, let's go back just a little bit, though, and refresh everybody's memory what you're talking about here.
What we're talking about is when there is a lot of conspiracy theories that our current music scale and all our music is written to a distorted music scale. And it was done intentionally to distort our DNA, because your DNA, which is a little coil in the middle of all of your cells, reads frequencies. The actual discoverer of the AIDS virus, French virologist Luc Montagnier, proved that DNA actually reads frequencies, and it can actually read really low, low frequencies and very high frequencies. So your DNA is reading these frequencies in all the music you're listening to. So I decided to distortion test our music scale, which on a piano, if you start from the far left key, it's 110 hertz. And then that's A, you know, on the very, very low octave. And octaves are times 2, and then you go to 220A, and then you go to 440A. So a lot of people have heard about why 440 is not a correct harmonic A. So when you stack all these tones up, and you'll see a video on the Coast to Coast website, I've made an extended version of the Law Scale video, you can hear the distortion as you go up our music scale. And whether you go up all 7 tones, A, B, C, D, F, G, or the 12 tones in the chromatic scale, you have this distortion. So the question is, why is the distortion there? And then when I test the famous solfeggio frequencies, which there are 9 tones, they're better, but they also distort. Well, here's a bit of amazing history with some help from your Coast to Coast audience. The god Apollo and his brother Hermes in Greek mythology actually create the first stringed instrument known as the lyre or the kithara. And the god Apollo actually and his brother Hermes create this, but they give the lyre to an individual named Orpheus. And Orpheus takes the lyre and goes to Egypt and comes back with a superior music scale that's so much more beautiful than the Greek scale that out of jealousy, he is beheaded. And in some myths, he was beheaded by the god Zeus.
Hey, David, let me interrupt for a second just for a quick announcement about that plane that went down, the Air Asia plane. It's being reported now that they're beginning to find or see bodies in the ocean and debris. So we may find the answer to this one pretty darn soon. I'm sorry, David, but go ahead.
Okay, so what this tells us is that when Orpheus, it's kind of like Morpheus in The Matrix, but Orpheus is like a god of music. When he comes back from Egypt, he has this superior music scale that's so beautiful. It enchants all the goddesses, everyone, spiritual beings, angels are enchanted by his music. And the god Zeus becomes enraged and beheads him. So,
ouch.
This scale disappeared, but it existed in Egypt. We know that. And we know now that after the god Apollo comes Pythagoras, and Pythagoras invents the basis for the modern music scale. But it's not certain whether Pythagoras knew the sacred ancient music scale that I'm talking about, that Orpheus had, or not. But here, it's going to get so amazing tonight.
He knew numerology, that's for sure.
Yeah, they knew. They actually, the Greeks had a number for every single word in their language. So So everything was coded with numbers, and numbers, of course, are frequencies. So what happens now, we've lost this scale. You can see when you distortion test our scale and the solfeggio scale, they're not perfect. But I end up finding this philosophy that the Great Pyramid of Egypt is a crystal oscillator that generates frequencies. And when I do all the math, I come out of the pyramid with this beautiful 10-tone scale, and you'll hear the full 10 tones now at the end of the video, and it's perfect. There's no distortion. It scales up absolutely beautifully. So what I'm going to say tonight, the first thing I'm going to say is last time I was on the show with you, I didn't give out the numbers in the scale because I got letters from hundreds of musicians and people who own piano shops in Paris, France, and we want the numbers. We want to know the numbers of the ancient scale because it could change the world. Well, when you have a scale, your basic seven tones in our scale are 12 tones in the chromatic scale. Their equivalent is a frequency, which is a number. So you won't believe what the first number in this ancient scale is. Firstly, I did reveal that when you take the perimeter wavelength of the capstone of the Great Pyramid as a square wave and divide it into the speed of light, or the speed of light divided by that, you get 5.151 megahertz. Now, the slope angle of the pyramid is 51 degrees and 51 minutes, and that would mean the builder knew the speed of light to calculate the exact capstone wavelength to produce that frequency. But I did that all the way up and down the pyramid, all the way into the ground to the subterranean chambers, and the numbers I got they're mind-blowing, and I'm going to tell you, how many of you out there have seen the number 1111?
Everybody sees it everywhere. I do. I can't get rid of it.
You can't get rid of it. You turn and you look at your odometer, and it goes to 1111. You pass an address on the street. You see your digital clock, or it's 111, right? You'll see the 111. You'll
yep.
get your change, or you buy something in the store, and your receipt says,
What does it mean?
Well, here's what's amazing. The first tone in this scale is 1111. So when you hear these tones, they don't distort at the end of the video. The first tone you're hearing is 111.1. So it's the 1111 with the decimal in there. This gets mind-blowing. What we're going to do in the time that I have with you is I'm going to prove to you that the Ark of the Covenant and Noah's Ark are both tied to the Great Pyramid. And the Great Pyramid produces these tones which allow an individual to commune with God. And
that's a pretty big statement, David.
It's a pretty big statement. Now, remember, 1111 is only the bass tone. So you have 10 tones, and then nature has this secret octave, our normal octave is times 2, right? So your 448 divided by 2 is 220, so that's the next A down on the piano. And then you go another A down, and you're 110 hertz. What's amazing is my first tone is 111.1 hertz. I'm only a fraction away from that first key on the left on your piano, just a smidgen different. But my smidgen different and all the other numbers on my scale that I found in the pyramid, I believe is the lost scale of Orpheus. It's the greatest scale ever discovered. And the reason I believe that is because the number for the harp, or the kithara, which became sitara, which became guitara in Greek numerology, is 5-1.
So when you know this or understand it, what does it do for you?
Well, here's what happens. The base 10 tones are 111.1, 212.1, 313.1, 414.1, 515.1.
All the way up.
And now the next one is 616.1. And that number alone, let's just stop there, because there's a great knowledge on the internet about the majority of our bodies are made of carbon. Everything in the universe is carbon. Trees are carbon. Everything is carbon. Just about everything is carbon compounds. And carbon is a 666. It is said to be the DNA downgrade in the human body is a 666 carbon, because there are 6 electrons, 6 protons, and 6 neutrons in carbon. So what there's this video on YouTube. You have to see it, and I'll just say you have to search this, because there's this deep wisdom that our DNA is going to get this upgrade to the 6161. And when I saw that, I went, oh, my God, that's the sixth tone in my scale, in the scale of the Great Pyramid. So you go 1111, 212, 131, 314, 515, 615, 619, 191, and 101. And those are the tones you're hearing in the video that are so perfect, and they do not distort. But then to create a full music scale out of it, I'm not going to give this number out, but you have to know nature's secret octave. And I now have 360 tones when you know nature's octave.
Okay, but what does that mean? What do you do with
it? What it means, George, is the 6161 number is known to be the missing number to cause the hugest evolution in human DNA.
I don't understand.
Well, if you receive that frequency, remember, your DNA is a little coil in the side of all of your cells in your body that reads frequencies. So if it's got... if it gets an upgrade in frequencies, then the DNA evolves, your brain evolves, the visions you receive evolve. Everything we make, from airplanes to automobiles to computers, starts with a vision in somebody's head. So it all changes with this upgrade of frequencies. What I'm saying is we've been listening to, and I'm not the first one to say this, music that is tuned ever so slightly wrong. And so this tunes you perfectly. So I'm giving out the numbers. Those are just the base 10 numbers. There's 360 numbers, and you won't figure out the rest without the cipher. But that is it. That is the lost scale that has been missing.
And what do? Listen to these tones?
You can tune synthesizers, pianos to create music to this scale, although you have to know the new octave. The nature does not use times two. And then, so it's going to change music, George. I mean, I've literally, from the last show, got hundreds and hundreds, over 1,000 emails from people who want these numbers so they can tune their instruments and create new music. But the second
would
part
this be revolutionary?
I mean, what will happen to DNA and the evolution of human thought when we're exposed to these frequencies? And the people who are taking my course right now are already, for 2 months now, have been toning, using their voice like singing.
It's like a hue.
A hue to these tones, and you hear this 3D spinning wave inside of you, and people are seeing light. They're having amazing spiritual visions just from using their voice to match the tones.
How does it work?
Well, the way it works is you see, this is very, very interesting. When you go back to pre-Jesus, pre-Noah? Pre-Islamic, to the time of the Buddha and before, most of the religions used sound, breath, and light to activate the state of enlightenment within us. And the Pythagoreans believed that just listening to and meditating to these perfect tones could cause the ascension of a soul. The Orphic teachings from Orpheus, and Orpheus would predate Pythagoras. He is the one who got the lost scale. He's the first one who brought it to Greece from Egypt. And he believed the same thing, that you needed these tones to attain enlightenment. Now, Jesus, in the secret gospel of the Egyptians, taught these seven sacred tones that you would tone that would activate your light body. So that's what we're doing. And as I've been doing this, and I've been doing it with my students, 130 students now taking this online course, I've been having so many spiritual experiences, as well as many of the participants have. And one night, this is where I'm going to tie the Noah's Ark to the Great Pyramid and prove to you that Noah's Ark is not a boat. It is actually a teleportation device.
Wait a minute. A teleportation device?
A teleportation device. See, go back to some of my earliest shows on Coast to Coast where we have space shuttle footage of a UFO pulsing with a Fibonacci spiral when we slowed the pulses on the UFO on the space shuttle incident. We know that the space shuttle is traveling right over Egypt at this particular time, and you see this spiral, this Fibonacci spiraling wave slowed down, pulsing out of the center of these giant, you know, 2 or 3 mile wide UFOs. Well, my friend Lou Gatto, who is an associate scientist that I work with a lot, believes that these are giant DNA factories that are the building blocks of every living organism and animal and mammal and human species on the planet. So the question, when I was a kid, you know, one of the first things I ever studied was Noah's Ark in the Bible. You know, God says you're going to put two of everything in this boat and you're going to survive in this massive cataclysmic flood, and somehow it's everything's going to live in there. And I said, that's impossible. And it says in the Bible that the ark does not touch the earth, which means technically it could not touch the water either, because the water is part of the earth. When I looked at the dimensions of the ark as a kid, you know, I was a teenager, I said, this is a circle. This is a UFO. This thing is not a boat. Well, this article just came out just in this past year that Dr. Irving Finkel, this you know, ancient biblical, you know, scholar, has proof that the Ark of the Covenant, I mean, Noah's Ark was a circle. It was not a boat. It was some different shape of a vehicle.
Was it a spaceship?
Well, here's where it gets really amazing. Okay, just about a few weeks before Christmas, I'm doing the tones, and I'm just about to wake up in the morning, and this dream appears where God has written me a letter. Just like, you know,
God has written you a letter.
Neil Donald Walsh. And the letter, the letter is signed, it's handwritten, and I see, I'm in this dream, and it's a letter from God. It's signed God. And I'm like laughing, like, oh my God, God's written me a letter. And the letter says, Noah's Ark times 4 is the secret to the Ark. And at first I thought, does God mean that there's going to be a flood 4 times as bad as Noah's flood? And what God is saying in the letter to me is there's something coming that's so huge, and the only way to ascend to get out of here is to know the secret, Noah's Ark times 4. So I take these are very simple measurements in the Bible, that the Ark is 300 by 50 by 30 cubits. And the most amazing thing is that to get a true cubit, because there are a lot of cubits out there, and there's a lot of people listening right now that think they know in inches what a cubit is. But the most common measurement in the Great Pyramid is the 41.21 Egyptian inches.
Hold on, David. We'll come back right to this point when we come back. Well, the Coastyle Holiday CD is still available for you. Not much longer, but take advantage of it. You might as well pick it up and have some fun. Save it for next year, too. It's on a CD, so it'll last a long time. How do you get it? Go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. Click the picture of the CD. You'll find it in the highlight reel. It'll take you to Amazon.com, and you can order the CD, where so many people donated their time for veterans' charities. And we'll take your phone calls with David Cereda next hour, by the way. David, let's get back to Noah's Ark. And you say it was round. To me, if it's round, it might be a craft. And I've always thought, by the way, that he didn't bring physical animals onto the Ark. He brought DNA samples of every animal. What do you think of that?
You know, I agree with that. And I'm going to show you, you know, you go to that original NASA UFO and it's pulsing. And my friend Luke believes it's a DNA, their DNA factories, they're responsible for creating every living thing. It has inside of the middle of every cell is DNA, which is a spiral vortex coil that has the information coded in it that turns one of us into, you know, from a monkey to a horse to a human to what our hair and eye color will be, all encoded in that spiral, which is a frequency waveform. So it's very strange. In my whole life and all of my spiritual practice, I've never actually got a letter from God like a Neil Donald Walsh type experience.
Can you read the letter to
us?
Well,
I read the letter, and it was all nice handwriting, and the name God was signed G-O-D, which was kind of funny because...
In your dream?
in the dream, very right. clear, and it said Noah's Ark times four. So here's what's astounding. What will connect the Ark, Noah's Ark, and the Ark of the Covenant to the Great Pyramid and the Great Pyramid frequencies. So God says in the Bible to make Noah's Ark 300 cubits, 50 cubits, and 30 cubits. Now, I take a cubit and convert it into Egyptian inches, which is almost the same as our inch. There's barely any difference. It's 0.00106 different, something like that. It's so small, it's like a hair's breadth. So it's really insignificant. But nevertheless, what I do is I take the most common measurement in the Great Pyramid to get my true cubit. And I get it from Peter Lemaitre's book, The Great Pyramid Decoded. And this number you're going to see is inside of Noah's Ark. See, the entrance to the Great Pyramid is 41.21 Egyptian inches, or the same as our inches, pretty much. So that's the entrance width. And it equals 2 rel cubits. The descending passage width in the pyramid is 41.21 inches. The ascending passage floor is 41.21. The Queen's Chamber passage entrance is 41.21. The width of the passage of the Grand Gallery, you know, that's that slope going all the way up the inside of the pyramid, is 41.21. The King's Chamber first low section width of passage is 41.21. The height of the passage into the King's Chamber is 41.21. So it goes on and on.
They like those dimensions.
Now watch what this means. So you take half of 41.21 to get a true cubit, which is 20.605, which is amazing that nobody's thought of it, because some of the royal cubits out there are 20.625, but it's 20.605. Now let's go back to God's measurements for first the Ark of the Covenant, which is separate from Noah's Ark. Now, Ark essentially means arch or arc, a half circle, or a pyramid arch or arc, or it means the case that you hold the Ark of the Covenant in. It's not really certain what Ark of the Covenant and Noah's Ark actually means. But here's where it gets amazing. So now that you know the real inches in a real royal cubit, which is 20.605, God said, make of the Ark of the Covenant 2.5 cubits. And you take 20.605 times 2.5 cubits. Now, this is not Noah's Ark. This is the Ark of the Covenant. You get 5151, which is the number of the slope angle of the Great Pyramid, and it's the number of the music scale. That's the number for the harp, which became the kithara, which became the sitar, which became the guitar. So we tied Noah's Ark, which was governed by Moses, no, not Noah's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, to the Great Pyramid. And that pretty much proves that Moses took the Ark of the Covenant from the pyramid. Now watch, from God's letter to me, times four, he said times four. So I convert 300 cubits by 50 by 30 cubits times 20.605 to convert it to inches. And here's the numbers I get. The first number, I get 6,181. Well, 618 is phi. It's an expression of the golden Fibonacci spiraling ratio. And that ratio you see in seashells, and we see that same ratio in DNA spirals, and you see that same spiral coming from the NASA UFO, which is going over the Holy Land back in during the Tether incident. So times 4, 6181, 0.5 times 4 is 24,726. Well, that's the circumference of the Earth in Egypt. That's the exact circumference of the Earth in Egypt.
How did they come up with all these numbers being the same? This incredible sameness with all that.
Well, that's what's the odds of this being a complete random fact generation are billions and billions to one. Now, the second number that God says to make the ark is 50 cubits, and you multiply that by 20.605 inches per cubit. You get 1,030.25. Now, God told me in the letter, multiply it by 4. I multiply that by 4, and I get 41.21. Exactly. No leftover numbers. That's the most common measurement in the Great Pyramid, as I just demonstrated. That's the width of the passages, the entrance to the King's Chamber, the Queen's Chamber, that number. That's impossible. That means the dimensions that God gave to Noah's Ark. This is Noah's Ark now. It times four turns it, basically, you're making a square. You're actually making the shape of a pyramid times four. And it's the exact number. That's impossible. So one number is actually the circumference of the earth in a particular north latitude in Africa, which could give me the exact location of where the true ark is.
Are you going to go hunting?
I'm already hunting on Google Earth. I mean, I've got this right down to pyramids in, I'm not going to say it's in Africa, I can tell you that. But this is so precise. I mean, it's mind-blowing what this means. So what we've demonstrated, just as a quick recap, is the frequencies of the law scale of the pyramid represent a more perfect, more melodic, no distortion music scale that the ancients tuned their instruments to, their harps and all of their instruments. These are the tones that I believe Jesus had his disciples meditate to in the Gospel of the Egyptians. There's evidence of that, to activate and turn on their light bodies. As I've been listening to these tones and meditating to them, I've been having one incredible experience after another, including the letter from God.
Does it relax you, David? What does it do?
Oh, it really produces ecstasy in the nervous system. Like, it relaxes you. It gives you this really peaceful, elated bliss. It's really quite amazing how effective it is at doing that. And then when you go to sleep, see, in the morning we go up the scale, and at night we go down the scale. So when the tones are going down, you're getting more and more relaxed. And people write me just phenomenal letters of what's happening to them as they're doing this. So these tones are probably the tones, and most likely the tones that were used in ancient times to go into higher states of consciousness.
That is something.
And communicate with God. So, I mean, when you think of the Ark of the Covenant, which is, you know, there's two arcs here in the Bible, the Ark of the Covenant and Noah's Ark. The fact that the Ark of the Covenant converts to 51.51, you know, Egyptian inches long, I mean, that's a harmonic number. That's the number in the scale that we're toning to. And that is a device that was used to commune with God. So we know that's how you commune with God, is by using those frequencies that are representative in the ark itself.
If people would meditate to some of the frequencies, what would happen to them?
Well, that's what we're finding, you know, of the 130 people that are doing it. I'm getting everything from people telling me they have greater spatial awareness, they feel lighter, there's more bliss. And then people write me and say they can see a tunnel of light, and they're going through the tunnel and they're being met by light beings. I've had the same thing happen many dozens of times. And I've actually, since I've done the tones, I've had two meetings with Christ just in the past couple of months, which hasn't happened to me in years, actually. That experience has not happened to me in years. So frequency determines how you feel, the different states of consciousness you're capable of going into. It determines how well you can insight and creatively envision inventions. Just the process of invention alone can increase with the right harmonics and frequencies. And when you look now at, there's this new Italian documentary out about chemtrails and how they're proving, as I had said for years on your show, that one of the reasons they're spraying aluminum and silicates in the air is to make the air more conductive to transmit harmful frequencies into the ecosphere. And that is what these Italian filmmakers have absolutely proven, that they're one of the main reasons is not weather modification, is actually frequency manipulation. So when you realize that all living things are affected by frequency, that you can kill plants or cause plants to grow better with beneficial frequencies or destroy them with harmful frequencies, that you can manipulate people's brainwave states, then the only hope of you ever becoming a balanced, harmonic individual is to tone regularly with these tones in audibly and also magnetically. I believe the future of survival on this planet is understanding harmonics and frequencies.
How relaxing is it to people? What if you, you know, before
well,
you go
when
to
you
work?
Get to the lowest tones, especially, you see, you start at 111.1. That's only the base rib of the entire music scale I've discovered. But when you scale down to that tone, when you hear it, you go, it feels like you're just about to blank out, like you'll just, it's so relaxing to the brain. You got your headphones on and you're listening to it. You just trance out. One individual wrote me, he said that when he was scaling down, he heard this pop and suddenly he was just floating in the universe. He was just expanding and floating in the universe. He'd never experienced anything like it. So when you get, now 111.1 as a brainwave is not a relaxing brainwave, but audibly it's incredibly relaxing. It's a very relaxing, but then you go to the 11, the actual, instead of 111.1, the next scale down is 11.11, and then 21.21, 31.31, all the way up. And then you build your octaves around that one. So there's a minor, a main scale, and a major scale, just like we have in our modern music scale. And the bass is 11.11, with the decimal moving over. So I believe people have been seeing the 11.11 with the birth of the New Age movement. I mean, it's one of the biggest mystical phenomena of synchronicities that people experience as they get more tuned, is to see the 11.11 everywhere. And what? I believe this is really the icing on the cake. It's what? Letting them know that this is the gateway to the harmonic scale of the universe.
What's the latest with angelic UFOs?
Well, see, the UFO, in all my years of studying the UFOs, you can see the evidence of the three levels of the UFOs. You have the UFOs that are actually in the seventh heaven, they're known as thrones, which are the round transportation crystalline vehicles of God and the angels. And those UFOs are not propelled by any technology. They're propelled by the power of God consciousness. And that's right. What a true Vimana really is. It's not a man-made or human-made or ET-made craft. In fact, when I first started doing the tones, that was one of the first experiences I had, is when I was scaling down at night with my wife next to me and my baby, I went out of body and I saw these beautiful sacred geometry, glowing wheels of Ezekiel, millions of fractal forms coming out of these giant wheels. And if you go to the Book of Enoch in the Old Testament, Enoch is the first prophet in the Bible, and Enoch has this dream, this vision, which normally occurred through the dream process, mm-hmm. where he goes out of body and he sees this spaceship made of crystal land on the ground, and it's transporting the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is probably not the same as the God of the Old Testament that we read, but the Ancient of Days is blinding light, beautiful being with a long flowing white beard, and the Archangel Gabriel and Michael are at his side in this throne angel. The throne is the round light craft UFO. And those in the case of the Virgin Mary appearing at Zaytun, Egypt, over the Coptic churches in the early 60s, there were light craft UFOs in the sky photographed as well as her body of light, you know, hovering and walking around the church. And, you know, that actually made the back pages of the New York Times in the 60s. And it's quite a remarkable case because you have photographs and you have millions of witnesses who all saw the same thing. So those UFOs, I believe, from my experience, actually live in the upper third of the Milky Way galaxy, or the inner third, getting closer and closer to the center. The next third and the outermost band from there are the paradise planets, and those planets are non-warfaring planets, and the UFOs there are mainly to transport people around to different levels of physical paradise.
But there are some dangerous UFOs out there.
Yeah, and then the outermost third, this will get really interesting, are the more mechanistic UFOs that are run and operated by beings that are still caught in war. Now, this is where it gets mind-blowing. Our planet in the Milky Way galaxy is spiraling up and down and around the Milky Way galaxy, and we're right in the middle of the outer third, which is the warfaring planet realms, and we're in this migratory, transitory place where we will eventually enter the beginning of the second third, which is actually where I believe the new vibrational Earth starts. And when we get there, vibrationally, physically, the Earth will change in a twinkling of an eye, and the beings of war will no longer be able to access this planet. And that's what I believe the new paradise Earth is. So that's why we're starting to see more and more UFOs. We're in the crossroads, and I don't know. A lot of people have had visions, like Sheldon Neidel and many others, that this photon belt we're going to pass through, that it was supposed to be 2012, and there's many people that believe that the dark forces have used a lot of frequency technology to try to delay the planet from crossing and getting affected by the photon belt. But there's no doubt, when you understand that all the major religions of the ancient world knew this, they knew these three major arcana existed, it's very clear that where we are in the Milky Way galaxy, we are in the zone between the end of the warfaring planets and going into paradise. So it's going to happen. It's a matter of time. I wish it happened now. I wish it was 2012, but...
Hey, you got to keep moving.
Got to keep moving.
David, we're going to come back and take phone calls with you in the final hour. Fascinating. If you're into music, by the way, and you want to talk about these tones, check in with us. If not, make the call anyways. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with David Cereda and your phone calls right here.